Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer back here on WBEN. Hope everyone's doing all right today. We are continuing the election fallout. Joe, this is the election fallout.
The fallout from the fallout?
The fallout from the fallout show.
Well, before we get to the fallout for the fallout, I just got to say, since I was not on the mic, well, I was until 3:30, I guess, but not on during the day. It's a pleasure to work with you every morning, Brian. It was a pleasure to work with David during our coverage and all of our great guests and panel. For me, a very fun election night. And I thought, honestly, that today we'd still be talking about when will we know.
What did I tell you on Monday?
Completely different. Yeah. It could have gone either way, and it did.
What did I tell you? You shouldn't be surprised at the results, no matter what happens.
Right.
But I did not expect it. Nate Silver put out over 2 weeks ago in one of his election forecasts.
Silver Bulletin?
Yes. He had over a 40% chance that either Trump or Harris swept all the swing states.
Wow.
Over 40, and you know, so that's not saying which, you know, who's going to win or which.
Right.
But it was, you know, and you add it all up, if you look at the two scenarios of either candidate winning all the swing states, it was over a 40% chance.
Wow.
That's what he, you know, had. And again, these are numbers. They don't always have to be right. But that was over 2 weeks ago. And you look at that and, you know, then I'm hearing, well, it could be weeks. And it just never really made sense to me that it would be, unless it was just so tight everywhere. And it wasn't.
Right.
Trump made gains. That we'd be here for forever.
Trump made gains almost everywhere.
So yesterday here, Joe, I was, you know, kind of looking at and asking people, and you can still weigh in with your thoughts, 803-0930 here on WBEN to reach us by giving us a call, by sending a text to the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I was asking people, you know, what are the lessons learned? You know, why were the results the results? You know, what do you think of what happened? And I, you know, not to contribute to, because I always hate the, you know, how politics has become sport, you know,
yeah,
like us against them. And, you know, and that's how the election's covered. And it's funny that way, like election night is always covered like it's, you know, this big sporting event. Nothing's actually happening. They're just counting votes. Like, if you want to, the event was the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the event, was the campaign of actually earning those votes. They're just counting. You know, there's nothing actually exciting going on.
The game's actually taking place during the day.
Yeah, that's like that took place a while ago. We're just like tallying up the score here. But I don't like to contribute to that. But you know, in a way, it is kind of how you talk about it and do the postmortem of Election Day. And I was doing it yesterday, Joe. And I don't know. Maybe this is part of the left-leaning media bias that was seen yesterday. Because whether it was on this show yesterday with me, or even in a lot of what I've read since then, or if you've watched anything on TV, it's been so much about why Harris lost. It's been so much about what the Democrats did wrong. And I guess what I'd like to kind of look at today is, did... Because if you just watch this, watch everything post-election, I think what you'd come across with is that the Democrats lost this election. Donald Trump didn't win this election. Kamala Harris lost it. And like that's how we got the result yesterday. And I guess that's my question to you is, was this really Harris lost this election, or... You know, can you point to things, things and say, wait, hold on, it's not just that. Trump won, and here's why.
Don't want to take anything away from Trump. There were questions around his campaign the whole time. But Democrats did things where Trump's message made sense. Does that make sense? Obviously, Joe Biden, this is my personal bias, Brian. Joe Biden's not a good president. And I think a lot of things that Biden failed at, people have fond memories of those things before the pandemic during Trump's presidency. But yeah, I think the Democrats, I think they made a lot of wrong turns. Now, again, me, politically, happy about that. But the Democrats, I think the way they handled Joe Biden was wrong. And, you know, people could laugh at this all they want. I think not having some type of primary process and making it look like the elites at the top just told you this is who you're voting for. I think that was more detrimental to the campaign than people realize. And then you had an awful pick at VP, in my opinion, and then just not doing media. I mean, I think Kamala Harris will be remembered for barely doing any interviews. I mean, she did not do any interviews, and when she did, they were very short, and it was along the same lines. That, and
well,
she didn't distance herself from Joe Biden.
You know, pushback on that, you know, that was true for a while, but toward the end of the campaign, she did put herself out there. She was doing interviews a lot, and they often didn't go great, you know. I mean, think right. of her answer on The View.
I think that's why people would rather have some kind of primary process.
Yeah, you're pointing out a lot of things that, you know, I think much like yesterday, we say, all right, this is Harris kind of losing the election.
Yeah.
And you know, the number one reason I think you'd say that is turnout, you know, her vote. She did not outperform Biden. She drastically underperformed against Joe Biden.
Even in blue states.
Yeah, that would lead you to say, well, she did something wrong more so than Trump doing something right. And so I was trying to look at, well, it can't all just be one thing over the other. And I did find a couple of things, Joe, over the last 24 hours that, you know, I thought made sense. Like, okay, did Trump actually do anything to win this campaign, or was he just kind of there and the other side made hiccups? I found this very interesting. So the Harris campaign raised just about $1 billion with a B, a lot of money. I mean, she rode a wave of momentum in, you know, right when she was named candidate to making a lot of money and a big fundraising.
And remember, a lot of that was from money that people wouldn't give to Biden.
Yeah.
So that was money that was just being waited to be given. Yeah.
So, and Trump, comparatively, you know, this is between January 2023 and October of this year, raised under $400 million.
Wow.
So she more than doubled that amount. Yet, still, if you look at TV buys and daily airings of campaign commercials, in the final 2 or 1.5 weeks of the election, there were more pro-Trump ads on TV than pro-Harris ads.
Now, that's crazy with the money the Harris campaign had.
When you look at the disparity, and I mean, it wasn't like double the amount. It wasn't
right,
but it was more. When you have one candidate who has double the money, yet the other is seen more on TV. That campaign has to be doing something right, you know, to be able to use their resources in that way. So I think there's a reason that now, are the TV ads the reason they won the election? No, but you know, I'm trying to pick of if you're going to look at both sides of this too. The other, and I think this is where you have to give Trump credit, and it flies in the face of how this has been presented in the media over the last year, is think about every time, you know, Joe, you hear all these national reports that go on, think about every time they are describing a Trump rally and think of how the theme of the Harris campaign was described. Do you have a picture in your head? What can you tell me?
How they described the Trump rally?
How they described, you know, what Trump was saying, how they described, you know, how what he was doing at his rallies and how they described the Harris campaign.
Well, you heard, I mean, the MSG rally, when they described it as a Nazi rally. Is that along those lines?
Along those lines, yeah.
Racist rhetoric, they use those kind of terms.
Dark.
Yeah.
Dark, right? Dark rhetoric, you know, grievances and a lot of that. Always used to describe the yep. Trump rallies. And how was the Harris campaign? You know, Harris was the joy campaign. You know,
yeah,
the positive
Beyonce
outlook.
Was there.
And you know, I think there's a stark difference in how the two were presented to how the two actually were
right.
in real life and seen by a lot of people. If you were watching the events, I don't think a lot of people were, but even if you were just watching clips of them versus watching how they were presented in the media, because here you had the Harris campaign. You know, it's all positive, it's all joy, but you heard a lot. I mean, what did you hear from Oprah the day before the election? This might be the last ballot you ever cast.
Yeah, crazy.
There's not much darker you can say than that, right? Right?
Yeah, they're going to take your
so
opportunity
it's like,
to vote away.
Like, I don't think this is as happy-go-lucky as I've been led to believe. And then you look at the other side with the Trump, you know, the dark rhetoric. And then you look at Trump and what's he doing? Sure, there is that. But what's the biggest takeaway when you watch Trump? He's just up there joking around.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that?
No.
There is something to that. Like, he had this, and you can describe it as like nonsensical, whatever it is. But I don't think a lot of people who watched him got the impression, unless you were watching him through the lens of how it's being presented
exactly
in the news or something like that. I don't think that a lot of people, you know, watched him talk and were like, oh man, this guy is just so angry. I think a lot of people watch him and go, eh, that guy's kind of funny. Like, what a weirdo. Or, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
It was not as it was presented. And I think that is another kind of credit to something you could point at and say he won this race rather than Harris lost this race.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm grasping at straws here, Joe, but no, those are the two things I thought of in the last 24 hours.
Obviously, Trump did something to, again, gain votes. I mean, I don't think in every county in America she lost those votes. I didn't think he gained votes. He gained with every demographic, which if you watch it through the lens of the media, Brian, they'll tell you that wasn't going to happen. But I don't want to take anything away from Trump. He was reelected. He's going to be the 47th president. And,
Joe,
he's going to make America great again.
He gained significantly with young people.
Yes. And I think that has a lot to do with where he was focusing on.
An area where I don't really think it has a lot to do with Trump. I don't think it has a lot to do with Harris. I think it has a lot to do with what they're seeing. And I just want to go to examples of the last 24 hours.
Okay.
He gained significantly with young people. Northwestern University was offering yesterday a post-election wellness space with crafts, games, snacks, and puzzles for the college students at Northwestern to do, which I always thought that was a pretty good school.
Yeah.
The students who need like a brain. That's what my 4-year-old does in school. They could go, all right, you know, you've worked on the letter E for a while. Let me go build some Legos. And that's what they were doing in Northwestern yesterday. In Columbia and Michigan State, you had professors canceling classes they couldn't deal with the post-election stress. Now, this is obviously something that has kind of gone on for a little while. Like, this doesn't just happen out of the blue where it's like, oh, cancel class like one day. You're like, oh, wow, I never realized people felt this way. Or that, like, this is just kind of the ongoing, it's the natural extension of the atmosphere that a lot of young people on college campuses see is going on. And now, you know, some of us might have said, hey, you're going to give me the day off? Sweet.
Yeah.
Or
sit in my dorm all day.
Play with Legos? Love Legos. Love building a guy.
I probably wouldn't go play with Legos.
I do also tend to think that if you are a young person who takes their education seriously enough to go to a place like Columbia, or you're paying the money to go to a place like Northwestern, that there's going to be a lot of you looking at this and saying, wait, you're canceling the class that I paid? You know, per class, that's probably $300 flushed down the drain.
Yeah.
You know, what does it cost for one class to go to, and how many classes are there? Do the math. Seriously, you do the math. You're at Northwestern. I went to Brockport, so I...
Yeah, please, you do the math.
You do it. But there's probably a lot of people looking at that and saying, what the heck is going on here? Because I thought I paid for an education, and what I got is daycare, and I think I'm going to something else. And I don't think that has anything to do with Trump or his campaign, and I don't think it has a lot to do with Harris. I think it has to do with people seeing like, all right, I'm just going to vote for the other thing than what I'm seeing right now.
I'm sorry, that's weak. Like, you know, I'm going to go back to 2008. 2008, Brian, I was at Madai College, and I did not vote for the person who ended up being the president. Guess what? I went to class the next day. Like, you know, there was no help center for me. I think that's extremely weak. Hey, there's going to be things in your life where you're going to agree with it, you're going to disagree with it. in life, you do have to keep on going. Like, could you imagine if on the way to work, Brian or I, one of our feelings got hurt, and we just turned the car around and said, I got to take a day. I'm going to go sit at home. I think you're right. I think people see that. And yeah, number one, what am I paying for this daycare? But number two, I think they look at that and go, this is weak. I don't want the nation to become this.
Did Republicans win or did Democrats lose? Or, you know, maybe it's neither.
I like how you put it, because it is. I mean, it's more than just Trump winning. They took over. The Republicans took the Senate, and it looks like they're going to keep the House. Most people who were watching this did not think Republicans, at the very least, were going to keep the House. It was the cards were stacked against them.
What do you think? 803-0930. We'll go to JP in Buffalo. JP, good morning.
Morning, guys.
How's it going? What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, just over the course of the last day, it seems like the blame game is going around the Democratic Party. And the person who seems to be getting away scot-free here is Tim Walz. I haven't heard his name getting blamed. And I'm just wondering what you guys think. Who was the Democratic brain power that thought he was the guy? He's the one who's going to bring us together.
JP, that's a great question. You'll have to ask a Democrat, but that's a great question. I thought Tim, and, you know, to this point, how much does the VP put stock in? I don't know. I thought Tim Walz was, I think the only thing that a VP can do is hurt you. And I think Tim Walz hurt the Harris campaign. You know, he got caught on three major lies, and every time, I'm a goofball. You know, I don't say my words too well. Like, that doesn't fly with people, especially independent voters. And I thought he was a really weak case. Now, I'm gonna go against what I just said. I do think Josh Shapiro would have been a great pick. As someone who supported Trump, I was kind of scared of Shapiro being the pick because of what we thought Pennsylvania was the big prize. So I thought that was an awful pick by Kamala Harris.
If you were to ask me that question before the election, I would have said, yeah, I think it does matter. Asking me today after the election, I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it mattered at all. Because I generally, and we've seen this time and time again, the VP pick doesn't matter. The only way it does matter is if you pick somebody popular, a governor, from a swing state,
right?
Which is why a lot of people were saying Josh Shapiro. Here's the thing. It wouldn't have even mattered if Harris won Pennsylvania the way the electoral map played out. So that, you know, is kind of thrown out the window. You know, you could say, well, she would have won Pennsylvania if Shapiro was the pick. But now looking at everything else, well, that didn't matter. So in the end of the day, I understand the point. I don't think it matters.
No, I don't think now looking at it. I will say this, and I was actually against the pick when he first made it. I do think J.D. Vance was a great pick for Trump. And I kept on saying this. J.D. Vance says what Trump says, but in an articulate way. And the way he gets the point across, like he can actually, you know, as we mentioned, Trump will go on stage and he'll ramble for 2 hours. I think J.D. Vance did a really good job of getting the message across in a more calm way, the way he didn't just blow up on interviews. Again, what did that do? Ohio wasn't even in play. But I thought J.D. Vance at the end of the day was a great pick for Trump. And I think Tim Walz, a very interesting pick. I don't think it hurt or helped her, but I do think it was an interesting pick.
And I don't think J.D. Vance merited either. I think the way
he does a really good job of
the two things you could look at and say, oh, why he matters would be the crazy cat lady and then his performance in the debate. And those two kind of cancel each other out, in my opinion. Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think you get kind of another VP pick that doesn't matter that much at the end of the day.
I get what you're saying. I do think there's a lot of people out there that wish Donald Trump talked like J.D. Vance.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong there, for sure. What do you think? Did Republicans win? Did Democrats lose? We're continuing to look at the fallout from the election. 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here on WBEN, and we're looking at the fallout from the election. What do you think? 803-0930. I think it's an interesting question. I almost hate to ask it. Because I hate how, you know, everything's kind of become sportsified, if I could coin a new phrase. But did Democrats lose the election or did Republicans win the election? Did Trump win or did Harris lose? I mean, which was the bigger factor? I think if you're watching some of the coverage, if you're listening, you're taking it all in, I feel like the general consensus is, and I know this is probably how I sounded when we're looking for, you know, answers, we're looking for, you know, reasons why things happened yesterday. It tended to fall more toward the this was an election that was lost by Kamala Harris more than this was an election won by Donald Trump. But what do you think? 803-0930.
It does also, I think, show that, you know, something that you've been pointing out, Brian, I think it's going to be more and more difficult for the incumbent, either president or party, to win after just 4 years. I'm not sure that second term's going to be a given just because of how quickly we, I mean, just look, Trump is more popular today than he ever was mm-hmm. in the White House. And that's true for so many former presidents. It's interesting how quickly we get sick of the party in charge.
Well, I said that yesterday. It's a worldwide right now incumbency handicap, basically, that incumbents are doing poorly throughout the world. Here included, you look at the past three, four election cycles. That's what's happening here. It happened again. And, you know, that's twofold. That's just kind of like, it's the way politics is now. It's where everybody's kind of angry all the time. It's social media. It's all this stuff. But it's also, you know, especially when it comes to Trump, you know, think of in 2020 and, you know, it was such a weird time during the election with the COVID thing and everything else. But you think of how even in 2019, how tired a lot of people were of Trump. And it's even if you were a Trump supporter, everybody was just tired of hearing about it all the time. That I think that played into, as I was saying yesterday, you know, I think a lot of the Joe Biden vote was give me the guy in the basement. Like, give me the boring guy. I want to not hear from a president for 4 years. I need a break.
And see, that's funny because obviously that's how independents felt and swing voters felt. But I felt the opposite of that because of what you're right. It was all the time. It drove me to the polls even harder for Trump. It's like all they do is just crap on this guy every day. But I think you're right. I think people viewed it.
You know, I saw a great example of how this has to stop because it ruins my credibility too. Like, because it impacts all media. Yep. I look up this morning and you take something as non-controversial, Joe, as the thought of, hey, we should really take a look at and probably get out all these artificial and processed flavors and colors and food, you know, all this stuff that's inside of our food. That's not really a controversial topic.
Shouldn't be, no.
It's like, you know, hey, eat more, you know, naturally, eat better. And then I look up and what do I see on the screen? War on Fruit Loops. Right, it's like you take something so non-controversial and turn it into something that sounds crazy. Yep. You know, it's a war on Fruit Loops. No, look, come on. You're hurting me too here.
Yeah, and or the rap you played, and I hate to pick on ABC. I hope I don't get in trouble for it. At the end, they said, you know, Kellogg says everything's within the FDA. Well, yeah, that's what they're challenging. That's the point.
803-0930, we'll get to some of your calls. What do you think? Who won? Who lost? We'll go to Paul in West Seneca. You're on WBEM. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Joe. I'll say that the Republicans won, and I think they would have won regardless of who they ran. And also regardless of who the Democrats ran. It appears to me, or I think, that the major issues in this election were the economy and immigration. A distant third was reproductive health and saving democracy. You know, it didn't even show up in a lot of surveys. So along comes Trump or any Republican saying, well, here's how we're going to, you know, we're going to drill, baby, drill, and we're going to have tariffs, and the, you know, your economy is going to be great. And as far as reproductive health, that's all up to the states. Along comes the Democrat and talks about the economy, but she's talking about the capital E economy. That is, you know, the stock market is doing great. Everything is wonderful. But doesn't talk about, you know, the cost of Wonder Bread and peanut butter.
Yeah, Paul, I, I, I think that's a good point too, and that's I think another thing is they focus so much on telling you, hey, you who go to the grocery store, you who's doing the shopping, the economy's doing better. But no one was feeling that. And I think Paul hit it there. That's another way, in my opinion, they lost it, is they were telling you that you were wrong for saying that the economy wasn't good.
What Paul's describing is more of a Harris losing the election, though, than Trump winning it.
Right. No, and Trump did a great job, I think, and his team did a great job of getting that message across. But you're right. And, I mean, to your point, Brian, you look at the four places where Trump got the biggest shift in vote. The bluest of blue states in America. He got a 12% shift in California. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm happy he won. I don't think anyone listening is surprised to hear that. But that is the Democrats losing on message if a state like California is seeing a 12% shift towards Trump.
Yeah, and caller mentioned tariffs there. I'm sorry. I don't think anybody was swayed by the word tariff.
No, you're swayed by what you saw when you go to the store.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, you know, again, I think the caller is right with the point, but maybe not with the result. Like, I don't think that Trump was saying anything that really drove the point home. I think it was more so the other side failing to address a lot of the concerns.
And that's something they didn't learn in 2016, and maybe since they won in 2020, they thought they could ignore it. But, I mean, people don't like to be told what they're living every day is wrong by someone who does not live. And I'm sorry, if you're a politician, you don't live in the same reality as Brian and I. And I think people are sick of being told, no, see, you're looking at the economy wrong. My wallet's empty. I'm not looking at the economy wrong. This is what I'm feeling every day. And I think people push back on that.
803-0930, we'll go to Anthony in Buffalo. Anthony, you're on WBEN. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, and you're correct. I don't think tariffs matter too much to me, tariffs. No, for me as a black male, moderate Democrat, hardworking veteran father, grandfather, I was tired of listening to my kids tell me that they didn't have enough to eat. They had to decide. It was economics. It was okay. Every time I said, I want to hear, okay, what are you doing? Well, and I would ask Democrats at the lower level, why should I vote for her? And please don't do it because, please don't tell me, oh, because she's the first black female. No, tell me what her policies are. What is she going to do that she can do right now? She's already vice president. She can do those things right now. Tell me what she can do. And all I got was more happy word salad at the lower level. And when I would see her, all I would get was, I would hear the Charlie Brown teacher when I was a kid, wah, 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 just more word salad. And it's like, you know, certain things like, you know, like Obama coming out telling me like, hey, how dare you? And, you know, people shaking their finger at me telling me, you got to do this. No, give me some policies. Give me something that'll help put money, food, you know, gas. Give me something that I can work with. And they just didn't.
Yeah.
Anthony, I appreciate the call. I like the energy. And I think that, you know, that is one thing. Anytime you would hear or hear insinuated that idea of day one from Harris worked extremely against her, because any regular person just has the gut reaction of, aren't you there?
Yeah, you're there.
Like it's just an impossible thing to say. And, you know, this speaks to a number of things. This speaks to why they should have opened the door for more candidates after, you know, you can go all the way back to there. But it's just an impossible ask. I don't even blame Harris for this. It's an impossible ask of somebody who's, you know, in the White House to run as a sort of change candidate.
Yeah, and she really tried. Turn the page candidate.
It's impossible to do.
Yeah. I will say this. We're talking about the things that Democrats did wrong. I think Trump's message, and I know Harris took it after it was working so well with him. Trump's no tax on tips, and we'll see if he comes, if he goes through with it. That, I think, is really what pushed him over the line in Nevada, because you do have so many workers that work on tips, work a job where, yeah, tips are a big part of the income. And I think that really helped him in Nevada. So that's one thing, that one message that I think really helped him get over the finish line.
You know what? I like that you brought that up, because I'm not sure, you know, what the impact of the policy on the vote is. And I'm sure it probably had some, if people were paying attention, you know, throughout, I mean, that was so many months ago, when you think of, like, when that first came out. But I think it illustrates what we were talking about in the first segment. When you watched, you know, him talk, when you watched her talk, and, you know, think of him telling that story. And that was, like, a lot of people would have seen that. That was shared widely on social media. Like, if you remember, you're watching him telling this story, and you're like, this isn't an angry guy. Like, this is like a kind of a weird, funny guy that's talking about, like, yeah, a waitress came by. I said, like, oh, no tax on tips. Like, yeah, sure. Like, why? Right? It was just like this weird story that it made him likable in a way that I think a lot of Democrats probably thought that he could never be to a lot of people. But you were kind of ignoring what you were seeing, maybe in front of your own face.
And that, I think that's another point. We got a lot of things. And is that the media? Was it the Democratic Party? A little bit of both. I mean, let's be honest, one worse for the other. You know, people finally seeing clips, you said, on social media, without the commentary, without the chyron on the bottom, just seeing these clips and going, you know, maybe he's not the monster that I've been told he is for the last 8 years, every night at 6:30, every night on the news, when you're just seeing him without any kind of commentary. I think that probably played into it as well. Again, is that a loss for the Democrats or the media? They're one and the same.
Go to Paul in Buffalo. Paul, you're on WBEN.
Hi, guys. You know, I like numbers, and the numbers say that fully 14 million less Americans cast votes on Tuesday than happened 4 years ago. And in order to believe that, you have to believe that 17% of Democrats said, voting's not for me this year. I'm not going to come out and vote. I find that preposterous to believe. You also have to believe that Joe Biden in 2020 was fully 12 million votes more popular than the force of nature that was Barack Obama in 2008. Or everyone can accept the obvious that Joe Biden never got 81 million votes.
All right, Paul, you know, I find it easy to believe. You know why? I was with somebody on Election Day.
No one was doing anything.
We had the conversation. You know, he asked me, hey, did you go and vote? I'm like, yeah, I took the kids and everything. I was like, you go and vote? Nah. You know, and that, you kind of live all in your, everyone lives in their own little bubble. I know a ton of people who, and I do kind of want to make a point about turnout being high here, but I know a ton of people who didn't vote, who voted in 2020.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do.
There was nothing else to do in 2020. Everything was so charged. I think 2020 will be a benchmark. Mailing in ballots left and right. Like, it was never easier. It will never be easier again to send in a ballot. There's a lot of different things you could point to. I do want to point to the turnout issue and get your opinion on this, Joe, because I brought it up a little bit yesterday. I saw the New York Times was writing about it a little bit this morning, about turnout in a presidential year and how Democrats, looking back to 2022, you know, a lot of people were thinking, oh, this red wave, right? And, you know, a reaction to a lot of the COVID policy that was unpopular, lockdowns and school closures and things like that, that didn't materialize in 2022, which New York Times kind of put it this morning, is gave the Democrats like almost a false sense of security that, all right, we're winning here. Like, we are running on things that are popular. Like, we don't really have to worry that much because we avoided, in the midterm elections, you know, people going back against the party that's in power. But then you fast forward it to a presidential election year when way more people vote, you start to see the things that maybe you expected to see in 2022. Do you think there's something to that? Like, the turnout point of this being a presidential year, that some of the late 2020, 2021 grievances and issues that people have, that it didn't maybe play out in 22, but it played out earlier this week?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that. I mean, like you said, people will turn out for presidential who will not even know there's something going on in the midterms, right? I mean, it does every football game I watched the last week leading up. So I think there's something to that. There's still people that were upset. There's something else about 22. And again, I'm going to catch flack for this on the text board. That's fine. Donald Trump in 22 was not as popular as Donald Trump in 24. And I think that stopped a lot of people from going and voting for Republicans in the Senate and Congress. Again, we're talking about a political comeback. That political comeback, Brian, you mentioned when he announced his run. He announced that after the midterm election. And he was still not overly popular as he is right now. That also might have played into it. But of course, the midterm elections, this for a lot of people was the first election they voted in since COVID. And yes, it's still on top of their mind.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
You won't find a lot of exit polling on COVID in 2024. That's part of the issue.
And I think COVID policies are even more unpopular now than they were in 22. There were still people that were hanging on to that stuff
in 22. That's true. You know, more of the fallout, yeah, right, has happened in the years since. And by the way, of the people I know who didn't vote this week, I don't know this to be a fact, but my suspicion would be a lot of them would have voted Democrat or did 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And didn't necessarily, and this goes to the point, did Trump win or did Harris lose? Harris lost if people who, if they did vote, probably would have voted for her, didn't find a reason for themselves to go out to the polls at all.
There was no urgency from the campaign going to the polls. I think there's a good point there.
We'll go to Brian in the car, because I like the name. Brian, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Brian. It's Brian.
Hey, what's going on?
Listen, this has been going through my head over the past couple days, as far as you got closer to election. I don't know if you remember this, but I was really, you know, they were talking about the unions and how they leaned away from Harris, especially after, you know, a lot of the auto industry and stuff like that were really hurt after the Biden policy. But what I was really put off, I don't know if you remember this, you may remember this, Beamer, was when after the election was considered Biden's victory, Harris went out on record and said that to told coal miners, don't worry, we'll find you jobs, we'll work on landmines. And I was like, literally, I was driving when I said that. I had to stop and bite my steering, almost bit my steering wheel off because I was so sick. Like, that is the lack of, you know, intelligence on that part. I'm saying the right words here. I was just really turned down when she said that. And so when the election came and ended, I think that was one thing, was, you know, that those are one of the reasons why I wasn't surprised she lost. I just wanted your opinion on that. I wonder if you guys remember she said that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for the call. I don't remember the exact quote, but I do think that, and it's tough for me to say again, I don't belong to any of these unions, but I do think that there is and it was evidenced by some of the unions not giving an endorsement in this campaign, because you have a union leadership that is maybe a little bit different than the union membership in a lot of cases. And again, this is a complete outsider's perspective, but it seems like at the national level, you're running into that issue a little bit when it comes to unions, and where, and again, you know, people, a lot of us, we kind of stick to the first thing that we see.
Yep.
I mean, first impressions are everything for a reason. And you think, oh, a union coming out and endorsing a candidate, they have the support of that union. And that's not necessarily the case of all the voting members of that union.
And I'm not one to give Democrats advice, but Brian, you talk about the unions. If you look, Democrats lost, they didn't lose unions, but they lost support compared to 4-8 years ago with unions, with minorities. If you're the Democrats, you want to know the topic of this show. Did you lose them, or are Republicans gaining them? That's a big question that you're definitely going to hear Democrats talking about. By the way, we just talked about the presidential election. Do you know what happened 4 years ago today?
No.
Joe Biden was announced the winner. It was Saturday, November 7th, the Saturday following the election.
Oh, yeah.
You know how I know that? Because 4 years ago today, Liberty beat Virginia Tech on a game-winning 59-yard field goal. And I remember it was the same day as Joe Biden was announced president.
That would be, yeah, that would be how you, it checks out.
Because they broke in. They broke in coverage and you had to switch the channels around.
Which is actually like a perfect example of what most people would do.
Yeah.
You're watching a game. Hey, we have breaking news of who the president is.
All right, I'll be switching to the...
Come on. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I like
Give me a break.
The little scroll. The game will now be on ESPN News. All right.
Click.
See ya. Yep.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Beamez and Beamer on WBEN.